Subscribe to TalkLoud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can also follow the show if you go to at TalkLoud Podcast. Of course, the website is also TalkLoudRadio.com. We got links there to subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. We got a great show tonight. We actually have two founding members of two major Facebook groups. We've got Ryan of the Fantasy Football Connect, and we have Jeff Rainey of the Year Round Fantasy Football Group. So we got two guys here that know a lot about fantasy football, and we're going to talk some fantasy football in July. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Great. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on.
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. If you want to start us off, just give us a little bit of history about yourself. How long you've been playing fantasy? How many leagues you typically play in? Do you redraft, dynasty, just a little bit of everything?
Been playing probably for over 10 years now. I mean, two redraft keeper leagues and two dynasties, one startup that's IDP starting about 2 weeks.
Nice, nice.
A few good best balls I'm trying this year as well.
Good deal. Jeff, what about you?
I've been playing for 8 years, six of which I've been doing Dynasty. Last year, I actually was in way too many leagues. I was in 18, nine of which were Dynasty. This year, I plan to play in about 11 leagues, 10 are Dynasty.
Wow. So you're a Dynasty guru, huh? Is that why your name of your group is Year-Round Fantasy Football?
Yes, sir. Actually, my groups really went up once I opened up the Year-Round Fantasy Football discussion group.
Nice, nice. Some good
stuff.
I met
a lot of people that like to play Dynasty as well.
Good deal. Yeah, this is the time of year for Dynasty. I know a lot of the redraft people haven't really tuned in yet. Most of our listeners right now are Dynasty. We get a couple of the hardcore redraft guys listening in July, but usually in August is when you get those redraft guys starting to show up and pay attention to fantasy football again. But it's great to have you both on. I've known both of you at least a year, if not longer, being in your groups and talking. And I know, Jeff, I think I was in two of your dynasty leagues last year. Unfortunately, I had to give them up because, like you, I took on too much, so I had to sort of scale back my leagues a little bit because I took too much that I couldn't handle. All right, well, like I said, I sent you all some topics to talk some fancy football. So are y'all ready to do that?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, So every seasoned fantasy football player has their do not draft list. You know, I know it's a little bit early. It's July, so this list may change a little bit. And Ryan, we'll start with you. Who is on your do not draft list? And this may be guys that are just injury risks that you don't want to take a chance on. You know, guys that have burned you in the past, or just someone on a team that you hate and you don't want to root for this guy, so you don't draft him. So who's on your do not draft list this year?
Right now, one of my top people on it's probably going to be Tyreek Hill. He's just getting a lot too rich for my likings this year. And he just really hasn't improved as much as people are perceiving that he's done.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot about Tyreek Hill, and people are either really up on him or really down on him. He seems to be one of those polarizing players that could go either way. You can either take him, you know, as early as, I think, the third or fourth round. I've seen him go, but I've seen him also go super late, too. So, yeah, he's one of those guys definitely that's polarizing that, you know, you're either on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. What about you, Jeff? Yeah. You got anybody on your do not draft list?
Well, I got two of them here, and neither one is off of where you can draft them at. It's more based off of people I would probably sell if I can get good value off of him. And that is Deion Lewis. He's the pass catching back in New England. And the biggest reason why I would not want to draft him unless I can get him way later is because I think Rex Burkhead's going to come in and really take over the pass catching duties there in New England. And the second guy is Keenan Allen. He's a little more based off of where he's drafted at. And the reason for that is because of Mike Williams, the big time rookie coming in.
Right, definitely.
I really think it's going to slow down a lot of Keenan Allen's looks.
Yeah, that's a big.
I think Keenan Allen go in about the third round.
Yeah, it's a big
in my 16 team dynasty leagues.
Yeah, that's definitely
too
high. Yeah, definitely for a dynasty league, that's a bit high. I think that receiver group out there, it's a great receiver group if you're playing real football because you got so many options. But I think if you're playing fantasy football and you want guys that get a lot of volume, I could see that offense being one of the type that spreads it around a little bit. You got so many mouths to feed, so. I can definitely see the...
Yeah, and I think Mike Williams is really going to hog the touchdowns there in San Diego.
That's definitely... Go ahead.
Tyrell had a nice season there as well last year and just kind of gone on the radar and basically free in different drafts this year too.
Yep, exactly.
See, and people think they're getting the 15 season when he was rocking the first 8 weeks and he was doing top five numbers.
Right.
And I just, even if he comes back healthy this season, I don't think he puts up those good of numbers.
Now, see, I actually
burned me last season too.
Yeah, so he burned me last season. I actually had a startup dynasty that I did with my group of friends that we've had now for 20 years playing fantasy football. And last year was the first year we went dynasty. And I picked him up, I think, in the second round, maybe even the third round. I got him in my dynasty league. And he came out like gangbusters and then he got hurt. And it was just, it just kills me. But yeah, I can definitely see that with where he's being drafted. People want him to go back to what he was, and he may not ever be that again. So we'll have to see. I think you kind of stole my thunder a little bit, Ryan, because my do not draft list also included Tyreek Hill. I just don't think that's an offense that is designed to really feature a receiver like Tyreek Hill. Now, he's a big play guy. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be sort of in that ilk like DeSean Jackson is. Where he's either going to give you like a huge game, you know, catch some, you know, crazy touchdowns, or he's going to do nothing for the whole game. And those aren't guys that I want to reach for in my fantasy league. So I think I would probably pass on Tyreek Hill as well.
Yeah, and then a lot of what he does is gadget plays. Last year, catching the ball, he only had 10 catches of over 20 yards. So his big plays weren't even as high as people are perceiving them.
Exactly. He's getting that preseason hype and, I'm just not going to buy into it. I got a friend that's a Chiefs. He's a big Chiefs fan, and he actually thinks that the guy on the other side.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were almost done.
I was just going to say that the receiver that he thinks you should own is Chris Conley, which no one's looking at. I think he's going undrafted in most leagues, unless you're in a super deep league like I know Jeff does. But Chris Conley might even be the receiver to own and not Tyreek Hill if they keep him in that sort of gadget role. What were you going to say?
Well, that was pretty interesting because I was going to bring something like that up. I think with Macklin gone, I think Tyreek Hill will get a lot more catches this year.
Yeah, I definitely think
he'll get a lot more catches, and he's going to get some reverses around the side. He's going to do some trick plays, some gadget plays, kind of like what you had said. But, I mean, I think they're going to have to use him in the outfield a lot more and a lot more in the slot.
Yeah, I agree. I think he definitely gets a lot more usage. I just don't know. I mean, even last season and going back to the season before, I think Macklin was the only, you know, receiver in the last couple years that's been even worth anything in Kansas City. And even last year, he wasn't worth that much. So I think it's going to be tough. I mean, from where he's being drafted, at least. Now, granted, if he slips, which in my league, you know, it's, you know, he might, because I got some guys that have been playing for a while and they don't really buy into that preseason hype. So he might slip to the late rounds. If he's down there in the late rounds and I can get a potential number one receiver for any offense, I'm going to take that chance. But I'm definitely not going to reach for him for sure. All right, let's talk a little bit about Joe Mixon. You know, he's been talked up quite a bit this season. People almost expect him to take over that starting job, you know, with Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill there. Just a couple of things that I wanted y'all to ask y'all about. One, if you're going to draft Joe Mixon, how worried are you about his off-the-field stuff? And then in that crowded backfield, can he be counted on in a week-to-week sort of situation in fantasy, or is it going to be a three-headed monster there in Cincinnati? Jeff, we'll start with you this time.
My opinion on Joe Mixon, and I think of things more of a dynasty aspect, of course, on everything. But I definitely am drafting Mixon for sure. And I'm not scared of his off the field antics because the incident everybody's talking about happened numerous years ago, and I believe he paid for it. He paid his dues to the system for that and has bounced back. What I'm scared of is a lot of people, especially in redrafts, thinking he's going to produce a lot early. And to me, that's not going to happen because they know Jeremy Hill can do everything in the run game in that offense. They're going to have Giovanni Bernard in the passing game on third down, but Hill knows the offense come week one. I think it's something whereby if Jeremy Hill can't pick up and do good things like he did his rookie season, then they're going to replace him with Mixon. And they're going to eventually replace him with Mixon anyway. But I think a lot more of the pressure is on Jeremy Hill to produce early. Otherwise, there'll be a whole lot of Mixon early on in the season if Hill can't do that.
That's a good call. If Jeremy Hill actually does come out playing well, especially in Dynasty, some of those Mixon owners may get a little antsy, and maybe you can buy low on Mixon. You know, if he doesn't get the carries, that Jeremy Hill's doing pretty good, you can kind of convince him to still Mixon. Because I do think Mixon is the future there in Cincinnati. I think Jeremy Hill and I think even Gio are coming down to the end of their contracts, and I don't think that they're going to keep them. I think they'll keep Mixon. Ryan, what do you think about Mixon?
Mixon's off the field. It was an isolated incident. Happened pretty long time ago. They even through the draft, they had everybody talking about how they've stuck up his character around Oklahoma and all that. So that's not really a concern, I don't think. As of their team, Hill's been on a decline almost every year minus his touchdown production. He was down to 4 flat a carry last year. And the opportunity is there. Redraft-wise, I don't think I'm paying his draft price right now, seeing him going late third, mid-third. I don't know if that's worth taking a chance with somebody who might get 10 carries, 12 carries a game, if that. And Gio's not really healthy yet, and he might not be through camp, so... Yeah. He might lose some out of pass catching roles as well.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think looking at it from a redraft perspective, I think Mixon's definitely going too high. Personally, I'm not a big advocate of drafting rookie running backs in redraft leagues in general. I've been burned quite a bit. You know, I owned Monte Ball and I owned Melvin Gordon his rookie season. You know, you got guys like Ezekiel Elliott that kind of bucked that trend. And I think coming off his big season last year, people are looking at these running backs. You know, you got Mixon, you got Fournette, you got Dalvin Cook, you got McCaffrey. They're all expecting the Ezekiel Elliott type season, and I think we might get a couple more of the Melvin Gordon type seasons where they, you know, struggled a little bit early on. You know, he finally got things going together at the in the second year, but I think, you know, all these running backs aren't going to have Ezekiel Elliott type seasons. So I think in redraft league, you really got to look at who you're going to draft and where you're going to get him at.
Exactly.
All right, let's move over to the Denver Broncos, which they've been in a situation now for a couple years where they've got some of the top talent, at least offensively, on that team, and they're just being held back by their QB situation. Of course, last year it was Trevor Siemian, and the year before it was Peyton Manning, basically on, you know, on his last leg. These guys could still produce if they had even a mid-level quarterback. And everything I'm reading now is that Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch are in a pretty heated battle for that starting position. As fantasy players, do we prefer one quarterback over the other? Is there one guy that's like, if he starts, then I will raise up, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas on my list, or CJ Anderson? Or is it just a matter of just, it doesn't matter who starts, it's the same thing either way? We'll start with you, Ryan.
Starting-wise, I think I'd be more intrigued with Paxton Lynch there. I don't know if it's really going to affect their draft capital. I think he has a better deep ball and might be able to open things up a little bit more, which would help Demaryius get back where he was. But he's still top 20 receiver every single year. He's the only one last five only receiver to be a top 20 last 5 years. And I think someone who can throw deep ball and get him it quicker might be able to help that more. And Sanders is pretty much on target every year. I don't know if he is affected because he's playing the underneath routes in high volume.
Gotcha. What about you, Jeff, what do you think about these two quarterbacks?
Well, we had three players on the list, which was Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and C.J. Anderson. And I think each quarterback plays a different role for each player. I think Paxton Lynch starting means he knows the playbook well, and he's making good throws. We know he has a stronger arm. So I think him starting boosts up the value of Demaryius Thomas and C.J. Anderson, as I think defenses won't be able to stack the box as much with Paxton Lynch throwing the ball. So I would say a boost to their value if Paxton Lynch is quarterback. I would say Emmanuel Sanders is more across the middle, slot sort of receiver. Not really so much in the slot, but he does play in the slot some. And I think he benefits more for having Trevor Siemian throw the ball.
Gotcha. So you're kind of taking the political route and just saying it it helps each one individually. I like that. See, I'm of the mind that Trevor Siemian kind of showed us what he had last year, you know, which, you know, it was okay. It wasn't nothing to write home about. And I think if he is the starter again this year, you can pretty much expect the same production from those three players. Now, Anderson got hurt, so, you know, who knows what he could have been if he'd stayed healthy. Paxton Lynch is kind of the wild card for me. I think if I'm a gambling man, which I am, obviously I play fantasy football and I play daily fantasy as well. I think if Paxton Lynch wins this battle, I think I might reach a little bit more for these skill players just because it's the unknown. Because I did draft this guy. They traded up into the first round to get this guy. There was something that they saw about him. So if he can be that sort of big play quarterback, you know, those guys, Demaryius, Sanders, obviously, you know, they've been there and done that. They can definitely have some increased fantasy value. And of course, if Thomas and Sanders are doing their thing, then Anderson in the backfield will have more open lanes to run. So I think I'm going to lean towards Paxton Lynch, hopefully winning the job just for the sake of the unknown. All right.
So I would agree with that.
Speaking of quarterbacks, with all this news around Andrew Luck and, you know, basically, you know, there's no news. I mean, we haven't really heard much about his injury other than that he hadn't even started throwing yet, last I heard. If you were drafting today, which I know nobody is, but we're going to just pretend that people do. If you're drafting today, where do you think Andrew Luck ranks? Like, where are you going to be drafting him at? Like, which quarterbacks are going to be ahead of him? Sorry, Jeff. Jeff, we'll go with you. Oh. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Which one of us is going?
Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, sorry.
Oh, okay. My bad. I didn't hear my name. So as far as that goes, I see him as the third quarterback off the board. That's behind Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan.
Even with the injury concerns, you have no concern at all about that?
No, I see Andrew Luck coming back healthy, and I think he has a good season.
Okay, fair enough. Ryan, what about you?
I actually have him third still as well, but behind Rodgers and Brady this year. I mean, I heard he was actually starting to throw late this week, and it's still a lot of time to heal and a lot of camp needed to happen. I'll take the chance with a player of his caliber, even if he were to miss a couple games over somebody who's doesn't have the weapons and not the pedigree that he has.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with both of you. I think I'm ranking him the same third quarterback. But what I'm hoping, if I'm drafting today, is that he falls because of this news that he, you know, isn't throwing, or maybe he just started this week. And I'm hoping that I can hold out, because I think if he's third overall, he's probably going in the second round. And I'm not a big proponent of drafting quarterbacks that early. But if he falls to the third round, I may have to actually pick him up, because being the third quarterback off the board with his upside and the volume of passes that he throws just in general, I think he's definitely worth it. I typically don't reach for quarterbacks, but if Andrew Luck fell to the third round, I think he's definitely a steal there. So I think if you're drafting now, you're hoping the rest of your league is scared of him and that you can get him in the later rounds. Speaking of in the news, of course, the big thing right now is Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he had this bar incident. Did he punch the guy? Did he not punch the guy? I don't even know. But just being in the news, you know, after they were already speculating he might get a suspension for the investigation that the league was doing into his last incident that he had, this one is not a good look. So with the expectations that he could receive a 2 to 4 game suspension, let's say starters, let's say through 2 games, does this affect his draft position at all? And we'll do this from a redraft perspective. I know Dynasty, it probably won't hurt it too much because you will get him back, you know, full season next year, you know, potentially. So let's look at it from a redraft perspective, and we'll start with you, Ryan. If it's just 2 games, does this affect your ranking at all?
No, it keeps them at number 3 for my running backs behind Johnson and Bell. There's still a decent gap between him and Shady where 2 games isn't really going to affect anything in my standpoint.
Okay, what about if it's 4? What if it goes to like almost a max situation where he gets 4 games? Does it change at all?
If it's 4, it's going to drop him around 6 or 7 range for me, because that's a lot of time to have your number one pick that you're going to have to worry about making up in an earlier round. Where you get talent that's going to play the whole year there, and obviously a mid-round pick where you're not spending on a handcuff or something of that nature to make up for it.
Exactly. Jeff, what about you? If he gets 2 games, where are you putting Ezekiel Elliott in redraft?
Well, I've got it set to where he's number 2 in Dynasty and number 3 in redraft. That's where he is in my standing.
Gotcha. Now, what
he's
about
number 2 behind David Johnson in Dynasty, and he's number 3 behind David Johnson and Bell.
Gotcha.
In redraft, I mean.
In redraft, if he goes to 4-game suspension, does it affect your rankings at all?
No, it doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter either way.
I mean,
so
I'm in it for the title. I'm in it to win the whole thing. If he's suspended throughout the playoffs, it would affect me, yeah, but the first 4 games, I could find a way to win the first 4 games without him.
Good deal. I think I saw a stat, and I may get the stat wrong, but I think Le'Veon Bell last year had a 4-game suspension. I think it was last year, and he ended up being the highest owned player on championships teams on ESPN leagues. So it goes to show you that if you have that guy with a 4-game suspension, you can still win. Now, with that said, I think what Ezekiel Elliott doesn't have going for him, at least for me, I play in a lot of PPR leagues, is he doesn't get those PPR numbers. So having 4 games where he's not going to, you know, get those 20 plus carries a game, it might affect him a little bit more than it did Le'Veon Bell. At the same time, I think he's still the 3rd best running back, you know, out there. Now, if I'm in the 10 team league and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott gets that 4-game suspension, and I got like a late round, you know, like a maybe like a 9 or an 8, you know, and Ezekiel Elliott's still there, I might try to draft another 1st-round pick, and then hopefully that he falls to the 2nd round, and I can get him at the top of the 2nd round, because that would be ideal. But at the same time, I still think he's the 3rd-best running back in fantasy, and I think, you know, as far as ranking him, I don't think his ranking changes if it's 2 or 4 games. I'm with you both. All right, let's do a couple quick hitters here. I'm going to give you 3 players that have a common theme, and you tell me who you'd rather have on your team and why. We'll go with Ryan to start off. We got 3 wide receivers looking to bounce back after forgettable 2016 seasons. Those 3 receivers are Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Keenan Allen. Which of those 3 guys would you rather have on your team?
I'd rather go Allen Robinson. One, he's going into the 3rd year, which is normally a breakout for receiver. We've already seen what he can do at the peak of the ceiling. Plus, even last year where he struggled, he was still 6th or 7th in the league in targets a game and 6th in red zone targets. So the opportunity is there. It's just a matter of getting executed, whether it's Bortles getting a little bit better or him just making up for it some aspect because he's done it before.
Definitely some good stats.
And he's healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say definitely some good stats there with the targets, because I actually owned him last year, and it was frustrating because they were throwing him the ball. He just could never get anything that was a decent catch. Jeff, what about you? What of these 3 guys do you like?
I like Alshon Jeffrey better, honestly. I think with a new offense that more suits his needs, I think a better quarterback throwing to him. And I think he'll be healthier. And, I mean, Keenan Allen, you're always worrying about that crowded offense and his injury risk. And to me, with Allen Robinson, you're more worried about the running game. I think with Tom Coughlin as the GM up there, or the CEO, whatever his official term is, they're going to go a high run first game. And I think it's going to cut into Allen Robinson's opportunities.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I'll definitely take out. I'll take Alshon Jeffrey over the other two. I think the Eagles plan to throw the ball a lot. And I think Alshon gets a lot of chances to get catches, yards, and touchdowns.
I'm with you on that, actually. I think I am leaning Allen Robinson. But if you were to sit here and tell me that Alshon Jeffrey is going to play 16 games, that would change my stance, I think. The only reason why I'd go Allen Robinson over Alshon Jeffrey is because of health. Because I've owned Alshon Jeffrey, and it's very frustrating because it's all soft tissue injuries, which seem to crop up, you know, every now and then. He'll pull a hamstring here or, you know, hurt a calf muscle here, whatever the case may be. He always seems to be in and out of the lineups. Allen Robinson is just 2 years removed from, I think, 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. And basically the same team that around him, it might even be better because he's got a better defense. You know, you mentioned the run game. I actually think the run game helps him a little bit. It gives them the threat of the run. So they can't double team Robinson quite as much as they were in the past. So I think the presence of Leonard Fournette, you know, regardless of how his rookie season goes, I think that the threat of the run will help Robinson. Keenan Allen, I would love to see him bounce back. But there's those question marks. Will he bounce back? How will he fit into this offense? You know, which receivers are going to be the lead receivers on this team? You know, there's so many things that just surround him. So I'm definitely eliminating him off the list. I think it's between Alshon and Allen Robinson. And if, you know, if I'm just picking one right now, I think it's definitely going to be Allen Robinson just based on health alone. All right, next one I got here. Which rookie running back not named Leonard Fournette would you rather have for this season? Jeff, we'll start with you this time.
I'm someone who's very, very high on Christian McCaffrey. I think when Cam Newton can't get the ball to his deeper targets and can't run the ball, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be his drop-off guy. It's going to be his little jump-off. And he's going to play in a lot more snaps than most other running backs not named Leonard Fournette. And I think he's going to – I could see him getting 60-plus catches this year. I mean,
nice.
How many rushing yards he gets, I don't know. I see 400 to 500 rushing yards. But, I mean, I see about 60 catches for maybe 600 yards.
Nice, nice. All right, so McCaffrey's your choice. Ryan, who you got?
I think McCaffrey will have the best season, but the chances are I'm not going to end up drafting him where he's going. I'm going to lean towards Cook in that. One, he's going in the sixth round. I'm also a little bit biased on that being a Florida State fan, but we'll leave that out of it. But he has explosion, good vision, and good balance, and he has all the chance to be the running back there with Latavius Murray hurt and the opportunity to take over that offense. And he has some receiving ability and dump off from Sam Bradford, who is a dink and dunk specialist.
That's a good call on Sam Bradford because he is a dink and dunk specialist for sure. I think I'm with Jeff on this one. I'm going to go McCaffrey as well. Just I do think he'll get more volume than the other two. Dalvin Cook will be competing with Latavius Murray at some point. You know, they may share carries. Murray may get the goal line carries. You know, who knows how that's going to shake out. Joe Mixon, we already discussed, is already in a crowded backfield as well. I think McCaffrey, you know, he's got Jonathan Stewart there, but they're two totally different backs. You know, Stewart would be the first and second down running back. McCaffrey would be the passing down back, so to speak. And I think he gets more volume, especially because, like I said, I play in PPR leagues, and McCaffrey is going to be valuable in PPR leagues for sure. So I think I'm leaning McCaffrey on that one. All right, the last one I got here for y'all, and then we'll take a commercial break. So for those guys that play redraft leagues, they like to wait as long as they can on QBs and pick up that QB that, you know, no one really wants to have on their team, but You want to have that talent around him. I got three QBs that are going pretty late. Actually, I think they're ranked one behind another at fantasypros.com. And that's Andy Dalton, Eli Manning, and Blake Bortles. Which of those three would you rather have, Jeff?
I'm taking Eli Manning. Eli Manning now has big-time target, Brandon Marshall to throw to. He has Marshall on one side, Odell on the other, and he has a pretty... who I think is going to be a pretty mean tight end across the middle than Evan Ingram. I think he's going to throw for about 4,500 yards, and I think he could break 30, 32, 33 touchdowns. And like you said, you could steal him pretty late in the draft. And I love Eli Manning in a redraft league.
Good call. Good call. Ryan, who you got?
I'm actually 100% on board with him on the Eli thing. He throws near 600 passes every single year. He has the best weapons now he's ever had. All the guys he named, plus he has Sterling Shepard, who had a quiet 8 touchdowns last year. He has everything there you want for a quarterback to succeed, and he's never off the field.
Yeah, I'm with you both. It's me, the trifecta here with Eli Manning. I think of those three, he has the least amount of question marks. You know, Dalton, he has those games where he looks like an all-world quarterback, and then he comes back and looks like crap. Blake Bortles has the one big season where he threw like 32 touchdowns. I think he led the league, or he tied for the lead in touchdowns. And then last year looked horrible. So you don't know what you're going to get from him. Eli Manning has been doing it for a long time. He has the best weapons that, you know, that he's ever had. He's got Brandon Marshall now, which is that big, you know, red zone threat that I think they were missing a little bit last year. They can't run the ball. So Brandon Marshall, you know, I always bring this story up, but you know, Marshall is an older guy. People aren't too high on him because of his age. But there was a game a couple years ago where he was in Chicago still, and they were playing my 49ers, and he had, a calf injury or a knee injury. He could barely run. They showed video of him like hardly able to even get off the line of scrimmage, but he caught 3 touchdowns because you can't teach 6'5" and 240, whatever he is. He's a huge red zone target. Just throw the ball up there. He can go up and get it. So I think, you know, when they get in close and they can't run the ball, I think Marshall becomes that touchdown target that they've been missing since Plexico Burris left. All right, so guys, that's
my question.
Go ahead.
Hang on, let me add one more thing real fast there. My question is, you need to double cover Odell Beckham, obviously. He's probably the second to third best receiver in the league right now. But how can you double him when you have – I actually forgot about Sterling Shepard, but – it's pretty sad that I forgot about a receiver as good as Sterling Shepard. I mean, they have so many weapons. You can't double cover anybody in that offense.
Definitely.
It's impossible to double cover anybody because somebody else can kill you. I mean, that offense is going to be ridiculously insane, even without a running game this coming year.
I think over the last 2 seasons, maybe even be 3 seasons at this point, the Giants have the most pass attempts of any team, which is crazy to think about because you don't think of the Giants as a passing team. And they also run the most 3 wide sets of any team, which is also, again, kind of crazy. You know, me being, you know, 40 years old, I remember the Giants being that sort of ground and pound. They're going to play good defense. They're going to run the ball. But they're not that anymore. They're a passing team. And I think that helps his, you know, his stats and fantasy as well, because they are a volume team.
But what about running lanes for Paul Perkins? I mean, if that defense is all spread out 15, 20, even 30 yards out to cover that off passing team. You know, what about when they do run with Paul Perkins? I could see him running having about 6 yards per carry just because there's no one there to tackle him because they're so worried about the receiving threats out there.
That's a good call, and I hope you're right because I own him in Dynasty. So let's hope you're right on that one because I'm hoping that he breaks out this year, at least has a decent season where I can use him as a fill-in for bye weeks because last year he looked good.
I'm not big on Perkins, but I think because of the situation he's in, he could have 6 to 7 yards per carry on his runs. I mean, easy.
Agreed.
All you can have is a defensive line there. That's all you're going to have stopping the run.
Yep,
that's all you can have in their spread offense.
This is true. All right, we'll take a quick commercial break here, and then when we come back, we'll play a little keep cut trade. Sound good, guys?
Yep. Sounds good.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? Going4two.com has you covered. Going4two.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, Going4two.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, welcome back, guys. For those that listened to the show for a while, you know that I like to do this game called Keep, Cut, Trade. I basically stole it from the Fantasy Footballers podcast. I kind of liked it. It's a game where I'm going to give three players, and from a dynasty point of view, they're going to have to keep one, cut one, and trade one, and explain why. Y'all guys ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ryan, we'll start with you. So the first one I got on here are two guys. They're in their second year with a lot of hype around them, and then the third guy that's one of this year's top rookie running backs. We've got Jordan Howard, of course, good breakout rookie season last year. Michael Thomas, you know, receiver from the Saints, also had a really big rookie season to the point that they actually traded away their best receiver, Brandon Cooks, to the Patriots. And then, of course, the running back, Leonard Fournette. You got to keep one, you got to cut one, you got to trade one. Who you got?
I'm going to keep Jordan Howard. He's the focal point of their offense, which is basically going to be the same as Fournette, except he has no competition to steal carries from him. They're the same age. He has one of the best interior lines in the league with Sid and Whitehair and Long. And there's questions as quarterbacking right now. But last year, he had three different quarterbacks play basically the same amount of the games with Cutler, Hoyer, and Barkley. And really, how much worse can Glenn be than that? I'd trade Thomas. Right now, he has the highest ADP in Dynasty. And normally, the wide receivers are getting a little more hype in that, especially one as young and produced like that in his rookie season. And unfortunately, have to cut Fournette just because there's more questions about his system, his health, being he had a chronic ankle injury through college that they said could show up later in his career. And you don't know what his line is going to produce or his quarterback.
Good call. Good call. Jeff, who you got? Who you keeping, who you cutting, who you trading?
Actually, my lineup is the exact same way as Ryan's is. I'm going to cut Fournette because while I am very high on Leonard Fournette, I think he's the top rookie running back. He just, to me, is on the same level as the other two guys. I'm going to keep Howard because running backs are much harder to come by than receivers are. And I believe Michael Thomas could get you more trade value than what Howard can. And, I mean, we all know Howard broke out really strong last year, so.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm doing the exact same thing that Ryan is.
And I'm with y'all 100%. I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm trading Michael Thomas not only because I think I can get the most value for him being a receiver in Dynasty, which is always a big thing, but because of Drew Brees. Because, you know, how many more years is he going to play? You know, 2 years from now, you might own Michael Thomas and you've got some guy you've never even heard of quarterbacking. You know, he won't be as good as he was or he is now. So, I'm going to trade him because of that. I'm going to trade him because of that. I'm going to cut Fournette because of the unknown. You know, granted, he is, you know, hyped up. You know, he's going to be the next big thing. But you just don't know if that's going to actually come out. I think we've seen it already with Jordan Howard, what he can do. I think he's the one I want to have on my team as well. All right. The next three we got are big play dependent wide receivers. One coming back from a year-long suspension. The other two are playing in new cities. We got DeSean Jackson, who's now with Tampa Bay. Terrell Pryor, who's basically replaced DeSean Jackson in Washington. And then the year-long suspension of Martavis Bryant has been lifted, and he's coming back. Jeff, this time we'll go with you. Who you keeping, who you cutting, and who you trading?
I'm going to keep Martavis Bryant. Too many people are scared of his possible lifetime suspension from the NFL. While a lot of people are very strong on him, I don't think anyone's going to get top-end trade value for him. I'm going to trade Pryor because there's a lot of people out there that believe he's going to be the number one, the go-to guy in Washington. Personally, I don't believe that, and the biggest reason I don't believe that is because of Crowder. I am someone that's very high on Jamison Crowder. And so I think I can probably get the most for Pryor in that situation, and I'm going to cut DeSean Jackson.
All right.
Because I think he has the least value of the three.
All right, I like that. Ryan, what about you? Who you keeping, who you cutting, who you trading?
I actually had the same three here, but just to kind of change it up, we'll say keep Pryor, trade Bryant, and cut Jackson. While obviously Bryant has the highest upside, more volatile, Pryor still proved what he could do on his first season as a receiver and had over 1,000 yards with half dozen quarterbacks throwing the ball, none of the caliber of Kirk Cousins, and the plays he converted were much lower, or the accuracy of those quarterbacks were nowhere near as much, and his catch rate was as high as it could be for that, and now it's going to get maxed out. And try to move Bryant before anything else happens or Ben retires.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm definitely cutting DeSean Jackson. I went back and forth on Pryor and Bryant. I think my tiebreaker with Bryant and Pryor is I think Bryant has the higher upside. I think Pryor in the offense that he's in, granted, Pittsburgh is a powerful offense too, but they throw the ball a lot. I think Washington wants to run the ball. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do that. But then they also have Jordan Reed to spread the ball to. They've got Jamison Crowder. They have the second-year guy that was a first-round pick last year, Josh Doctson. So who knows where Pryor fits in the pecking order of that. And then, of course, we got all this controversy around Kirk Cousins and will he even be here next year. So I think I'm going to go with Bryant just based on upside. And then I'm going to try to trade Pryor before he loses his value in Washington. All right, last one I got for you. We've got two up-and-coming tight ends, and then we have one old guy with probably a few years left in the tank. The old guy is Greg Olsen, and then the two up-and-comers, we got rookie O.J. Howard, now with Tampa Bay, and Hunter Henry, who should eventually take over for Antonio Gates, you know, at some point if he ever decides to retire. Which of these guys are you going to cut, which guys are you going to keep, and which guys are you going to trade? Ryan, start with you.
While Olsen's one of my favorite tight ends in the league for redraft purposes, but for this, I'd keep Henry. He has unlimited upside and already proved a little bit what he can do with all the touchdowns he scored last year. Trade Olsen because right now he still has value, even though he's older. A team who's in win now mode will give up more to have something, a proven commodity than a rookie tight end when most rookie tight ends have never done anything in that year, in their first year playing. So I would cut Howard in that situation.
All right. I like that. I like that. Jeff?
As far as I go, cutting Olsen was easy because you just stated the dynasty perspective and he's the oldest of the three. As far as value goes, I think O.J. Howard, I think is getting the most value right now. Just because he's a top tight end in the league, or top rookie tight end in the league, I'm sorry. I think he's getting the highest value, therefore I'm going to try to trade him. And I think Henry can have probably a much better year. I wouldn't say much better year, but I think he's going to have a better year than what Howard's going to have. So I'm going to keep Henry. I'm going to trade Howard and cut Olsen.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm with you, Jeff. I think I'm cutting Olsen. As much as that kind of hurts to cut a guy that with that kind of production, I do think I'm going to cut him. I'm going to try to trade O.J. Howard because he is the shiny new toy, so to speak. Everyone seems to always overvalue rookies. And then the tight ends especially, if you look at history, I think Gronkowski may be the only tight end that actually had a decent rookie season. I mean, Jordan Reed struggled his first year. Vernon Davis struggled his first year. Jimmy Graham was almost an afterthought his first year. So I think Howard struggles his first season, but for right now, I think its value is pretty high. I think I can probably get something good for him. And I'm going to keep Hunter Henry just because I do think he'll take over for Antonio Gates. I think Gates is just hanging on to get that record of touchdowns, I believe. Once he gets it, I think Henry basically takes over that offense and becomes, you know, Rivers' next big, you know, touchdown target that Gates was for so long. So yeah, I'm going to keep Henry as well. All right, the last thing that we're going to do here to finish this podcast up, and I always ask my guest this as the last question on the way out. I'm going to ask you to give up one of your secrets. Give me one guy. Now, Jeff, I know you play in some super deep leagues, so your deep guy may be like super, super deep. We may not even know his name. But we'll start with Ryan. Give me one of your sleepers, one of your guys you're going to be targeting this season.
I think Joe Williams is going to be one of my guys I target late. I love the opportunity in San Francisco. I know Hyde's a good running back, but he hasn't played more than 13 games more than maybe once or twice in his career. Williams is explosive, and Shanahan picked him out himself. He went and told Elway that pulled him, who was off the board, he forced him to put it back on because he liked what he brought to the game. And he's an explosive athlete. He ran a 4.41, had 1,400 yards last year, and just showed everything he wanted a running back. All he needs is that opportunity in the offense, which is a good chance to happen because it's still an open competition.
I like that call a lot, actually, especially as a 49ers fan, because you're right. Hyde just can't seem to stay healthy for whatever reason. I think he's a great talent when he can stay on the field, but as you know, in fantasy football, it's all about opportunity. And I think they've even opened the competition up to say that Hyde's job is not guaranteed to be the starter. And of course, you know, the regime there didn't draft Hyde, so there's no ties to him. There's no loyalty to him. So Joe Williams could potentially take that job over even without injury. So I definitely like that call for sure. And he is definitely going late in redraft leagues as well. All right, Jeff, who you got?
You already know I play in 16-man leagues for the most part. And the guy I've got is going right around the 6th to 8th round. But I think he's going to beat out a lot of guys going in the 3rd and 4th rounds. And his name is Willie Snead. I think he's going to, on any given day, a lot of defenses are going to double cover Thomas. And I think Willie Snead's going to get 10 to 12 catches a game to go over 100 yards for a touchdown easy. Willie Snead's the number 2 for Drew Brees, and I definitely think he has a lot more value than where he's going right now. And like I said, you can get him in the 6th or 7th round in deeper leagues.
I agree 100%. I mean, you just look, the Brandon Cooks is no longer there. Everyone's talking about Michael Thomas's, you know, sort of step up to the number 1 receiver, but they're forgetting that, you know, Thomas played basically the number 3 receiver last year, and he was good. Willie Snead now is the clear-cut number 2. And I think they spread the ball around so much that I think Snead is definitely a good call. People are definitely forgetting about him. Honestly, I forgot about it until you just mentioned him right now. So definitely a good call on that. All right, guys.
Yeah, the one thing I heard about them in that offense, no receiver's ever had 100 receptions for Drew Brees. So it's definitely going to be spread around to everybody. I like the Snead call as well.
Definitely. All right, guys, that wraps everything up for tonight. I want to thank you both for coming on again. Guys, again, go to Facebook and search for Fantasy Football Connect. That's Ryan's group. And then if you want it's a little bit more Dynasty theme stuff, you know, they do a little bit of everything. But if you search for year-round fantasy football, that's Jeff Rainey stuff. You can definitely check them both out. Obviously, join both groups. They're very engaged. They are friends of the website, goingfor2.com. I post a lot of my stuff in there. They do a lot of great stuff in there, a lot of great, you know, content, you know, a lot of great conversations. So definitely check them out, guys. I want to thank you both again for coming on, and I would love to have you both back on before the season starts.
Awesome. Thanks for
having me. Sounds good, man.
All right, guys, that wraps it up. Let's have a good night, and I will be talking to you.
Sounds good.
You too, sir.
Bye. Yeah.